Hello, and welcome to Morning Prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. I thank God that we're able to be together to spend some time in prayer this morning. Today is Thursday. This is the 20th week after Pentecost. This week we will spend some time considering what it means for us that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. You have been born anew through the abiding word of God. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning this morning at verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. But we are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that this does not include the one who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who puts all things in subjection under him, so that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will those people do who receive baptism on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? And why are we putting ourselves in danger every hour? I die every day. That is certain, brothers and sisters, as my boasting of you, a boast that I make in Christ Jesus our Lord. If with merely human hopes I fought with wild animals at Ephesus, what would I have gained by it? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. come to a sober and right mind, and sin no more. For some people have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. I suppose it has been a temptation to some to make the resurrection mean something other than what it is. Or maybe it would be more accurate to say that we think we know what is meant by the resurrection when we don't yet understand what really happened and what has happened, what that means. Today we might couch our misinformed belief by saying, well, this is just my opinion, or this is just what I think, or this is what I can deduce from it after doing my thorough investigation. And at the same time, believing that we have the right to hold these opinions and to share these thoughts, even when they don't get the story straight, even when they lead others astray, even when they cause harm to others by our misguided misinformation. We have already heard how the central event of our faith in Jesus is summed up in this. Jesus died and he was buried. He rose again and he appeared to the apostles. This is the story. There are witnesses. Nevertheless, in the church, there are some who say there is no resurrection of the dead. Now, that is an easy statement to make. No one has ever been raised from the dead before. Every death we have ever witnessed has been final. And the thought of a dead body coming back from the grave is the stuff of horror movies. After all, bodies decay, don't they? The ancients knew that well. So, some can say that there is no resurrection of the dead. It seems in Paul's day as in ours, there are many persuaded by the common sense of that statement. And so that is why Paul is writing, to set the record straight and to let people know what they do not know about God, about Christ, and about the promises that God has made throughout all of Scripture. But he begins by unwinding the whole story. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus is dead, and all of the apostles are blasphemous liars. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus is dead, and we too are as good as dead, so we best enjoy the life we have while we have it. You only live once. Live it up. That would be a better message than the one that Paul has preached. That is, if there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, then he was foolish to risk his body and his life in proclaiming the good news throughout the world. What a fool to put life and limb on the line, to fight with the wild animals at Ephesus, if there was no hope that he would be raised from the dead. But Paul says that is not the truth. The truth is that Jesus did rise from the dead, that there is a resurrection from the dead, and that Jesus is the first fruits of this greater resurrection that will follow, because Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. To communicate this, Paul talks about Adam. If the first Adam died, and ever since all we know is that human beings die, it is also so that Jesus came into this world and was raised from the dead, so that in the future all we will know is that we will rise again. If we as human beings died in Adam, and we do, then we as human beings will live in Jesus Christ, who has been raised according to God's promise. So there is a resurrection from the dead. But up to this point in history, only Jesus has been raised, like a new Adam, an Adam of life, not death. And in God's own time, when Christ comes again, the dead in Christ will be raised too. And that is our hope, our future, and the promise at the heart of our gospel. But what manner of life will this resurrected life be? I wonder that too. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you, all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ and for all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church, for the gift of relationships with others. For what else are we truly thankful? Merciful God, who might renew this weary world, heal the hurts of all of your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, for those who govern nations of the world, for the people in countries ravaged by strife and warfare, for all who work to bring about peace and harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction, for those who are sick, for those who are mourning, for those who care for the sick and accompany those who mourn. For who else or for what else do we pray this morning? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forevermore. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.